Pacheco, and welcome to another hour of Forgotten Hollywood. I've written an award-winning paperback I'd like you to read that tells America's story through the great character actors of Hollywood's golden age. Joining me on today's program is the radio columnist from the Orange County Register and my good friend Gary Lycan with his weekly On the Backlot report. This week we'll begin a two-part look at a couple of the more influential movie lots during the studio era. In past weeks, we featured segments capturing memorable stories from the top studios of the day, including MGM, Universal, and Warner Brothers. Today and next week, we'll focus on the next tier of influential lots, including 20th Century Fox and Paramount. Let's begin with the history of Fox. The company arose out of a merger between Fox Film Corporation and 20th Century Pictures in 1935. Fox Studios was a brainchild of theater chain pioneer William Fox in 1915. After two crashes, a car crash by Fox, and the stock market, these events cost the movie mogul his studio, despite promising success from their stable of actors, including Janet Gaynor, Spencer Tracy, and James Dunn. The most prominent of their stars, Will Rogers, would die in a plane crash just after the merger. 20th Century Pictures had a budding mogul in the wings that helped the studio turn a lasting profit. That was Darryl F. Zanuck, who was named vice president in charge of production immediately after the joint agreement. Zanuck's first assignment was to cultivate the talents of an emerging superstar, Shirley Temple. Just 6 years of age, this wonderkind single-handedly led the studio into solvency. She could act, dance, and sing. From the movies Bright Eyes and Curly Top, here's Shirley Temple at her best on Forgotten Hollywood.
On the good ship, Lollipop, it's sweet trip to a candy shop where bonbons play on the sunny beach of Peppermint Bay. Lemonade stands everywhere, Cracker Jack band, belly air, and there you are, happy landing on a chocolate bar. See the sugar bowl, do the tootsie roll with the big bad devil's food cake. If you eat too much, oh, oh, you'll awake with a tummy ache. On the good ship, Lollipop, it's a night trip. Into bed you hop and dream away. On the good ship, Lollipop. On the good ship, Lollipop, it's a sweet trip to a candy shop where bonbons play on the sunny beach of Peppermint Bay. Lemonade stand everywhere, Cracker Jack man, belly air, and there you are, happy landing on a chocolate bar. See the sugar bowl, do the tootsie roll with the big fat devil's food cake. If you eat too much, oh, oh, you'll awake with a tummy ache. On the good ship, Lollipop, it's a night trip. Into bed you hop and dream away.
Dream away.
On the good ship, Lollipop.
Oh.
Animal cracker in my soup. Monkeys and rabbits loop the loop. Gosh, oh gee, but I have fun swallowing animals one by one. In every bowl of soup I see lions and tigers watching me. I make them jump right through a hoop whiskers and my suit. When I get hold of the big bad wolf, I just push him under the ground. Then I bite him in a million bits, and I go pull him right down. When they're inside me where it's dark, I walk around like Noah's Ark. I stuff my tummy like a goop with animal crackers in my soup. Animal crackers in my soup do funny things to me. They make me think my neighborhood is a big menagerie. For instance, there's our janitor. His name is Mr. Klein. And when he hollers at us kids, he reminds me of the lion. The grocer is so big and fat, he has a big mustache. He looks just like a walrus just before he takes a splash. Animal crackers in my soup, he's a rabbit loop-the-loop. Gosh, funky, but I have a swallowing animal one by one. In every bowl of soup I see, lions and tigers, what to me? I make them jump right through a hoop, those animal crackers in my soup. When I get cold of the big bad wolf, I just push him under the ground. Then I bite him in a million bits, and I go move him right down. When they're inside me, where it's dark, I walk around like Noah's Ark. I stuff my tummy like a goop with animal crackers in my soup.
Today, Forgotten Hollywood visits 20th Century Fox. Daryl F. Zanuck quickly signed young actors who would carry Fox for years, including Henry Fonda, Tyrone Power, Don Ameche, Gene Tierney, and Linda Darnell. Biographies and musicals were an intoxicating cinematic mix for the 1930s audiences. Among the famous folks highlighted, Abraham Lincoln, Jesse James, Alexander Graham Bell, and Mrs. O'Leary with her famous cow. On the other hand, Fox's musicals were light and airy. You're listening to Forgotten Hollywood.
We don't have to go to college in search of knowledge today. Though our English marks are zeros, the movie heroes teach us to say. You're slightly terrific, speaking specifically, slightly gigantic, mean it romantically, more than stupendous, my love's tremendous for you. No star in a picture could be so glamorous, you're such a mixture of everything amorous. What a construction, a major production, that's you. I saw a preview of you, you made a hit from the start. Let's sign a contract for two, you'll be the star of my heart. You're slightly terrific, speaking specifically, silver colossal, suit my philosophy, being specific, you're slightly terrific to me. Terrific, speaking specifically.
Suit my philosophy.
Yarupa.
Sapisa.
Sapipa.
Sapata.
Honey, do you think it's wise that our affair should wind up? Honey, before you make what you laughingly call your mind up, think twice,
Daria.
Honey, think twice,
Daria.
Before you say goodbye to me, think twice. When it comes to love, you can't make any kind do. No one's kisses synchronize like yours and mine. It ain't fair. No, no, honey, it ain't fair. To change your I love you to I don't care. Do you think that you find someone half as nice? Count to 10.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
And then think twice.
Was Alice Faye, Joan Davis, and Marjorie Weaver on Forgotten Hollywood. Faye was Shirley Temple's friendly rival at 20th Century Fox. Truth be told, they were actually good pals. This is Forgotten Hollywood. I'm Manny Pacheco. Hit, hit, hit it!
Thank you.
Those were the voices of Betty Grable and Robert Cummings on Forgotten Hollywood. Grable was not only popular with moviegoers, she was an inspiration to American soldiers fighting on three continents. Fascism never had a more formidable foe. During and after World War II, the folks at Fox decided to offer more adult fare to film audiences. The string of important motion pictures during the 1940s were quite impressive. They include How Green Was My Valley, The Song of Bernadette, The Oxbow Incident, Wilson, Laura, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, A Bell for Adano, My Darling Clementine, The Razor's Edge, Gentleman's Agreement, Miracle on 34th Street, and The Snake Pit, among others. When All About Eve received 14 Oscar nominations, breaking the record established by Gone with the Wind, Zanuck was in his prime. Forgotten Hollywood honors this memorable score.
Thank you.
Manny Pacheco here on Forgotten Hollywood as we pay homage to 20th Century Fox. The studio also started producing Broadway-turned film musicals, including the works of Rodgers and Hammerstein, beginning with the musical version of State Fair in 1945 and continuing years later with Carousel in 1956, The King and I, and The Sound of Music. In fact, when The Hills came alive, another Gone with the Wind record was broken. Ticket sale receipts. Ah, Forgotten Hollywood remembers it well. Come right back. 20th Century Fox tries to stay relevant in the 1960s. Hi, I'm author Manny Pacheco. Son of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History is the brand new book telling America's story through the eyes of actors from Hollywood's golden age, including Frank Morgan, Marjorie Main, and Andy Devine. Son of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History features iconic cinema, including The Maltese Falcon, High Noon, and The Hollywood Canteen. The original Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History has been the recipient of the gold medal at the 2010 World Book Awards and has been added at the prestigious libraries of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences and the American Film Institute. You can purchase both paperbacks on Amazon and at selected Barnes & Noble bookstores. And you can download the first book to your virtual library as an ebook for your Kindle, Nook, or on your favorite e-reader through Sony or Apple. The Forgotten Hollywood book series makes a perfect gift for a family member or friend. Visit ForgottenHollywood.com or on Amazon and pick up or download a copy of these books today. Welcome back to Forgotten Hollywood. I'm Manny Pacheco with an hour retrospective on the iconic movie studio 20th Century Fox. The Film Lot wrote the coattails of emerging stars as Gregory Peck, Marlon Brando, Richard Burton, Elvis Presley, and Marilyn Monroe during the 1950s. And because of his Oscar-winning work on A Letter to Three Wives and All About Eve, director Joseph L. Mankiewicz became the king of production. His budget-breaking effort on Cleopatra a decade later ended his film career. Prior to this ill-advised project, Daryl F. Zanuck was basking in the glow of the popular World War II epic, The Longest Day, in 1962. It would take 2 years before the release of two films resurrecting the fleeting fortunes of the movie studio. Of course, the previously discussed The Sound of Music and the hugely popular but quirky movie, Zorba the Greek. Surprisingly, money was made from its score when an album was released. You're listening to Forgotten Hollywood.
could talk to the animals. Just imagine it, chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be. If we could talk to the animals, learn their languages, maybe take an animal degree. We'd study elephant and eagle, buffalo and beagle, alligator, guinea pig and flea. We would converse in polar bear and python, and we would curse in fluent kangaroo. If people asked us, can you speak rhinoceros? We'd say, of course-a-ris. Can't you? If we conferred with our furry friends, man to animals, think of the things we could discuss. If we could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals, and they could talk to consulted with quadruped, think what fun we'd have asking over crocodiles for tea. Or maybe lunch with two or three lions, walruses and sea lions. What a lovely place the world would be. We'd learn to speak in antelope and turtle. Our Pekingese would be extremely good. If we were asked to sing in hippopotamus, we'd say why none of us, and would. And I am sure every octopus, lace and platypus certainly would see it as a plus. If we could walk with those animals, talk with those animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with those animals, and they could talk to us. We'd study every living creature's language so we could speak to all of them on sight. If friends said, can you talk in Clavo Pelican? We'd say like hell we can. And we'd be right. If we all spoke like animals, who needs English? Gradually we drop it with no fuss. If we could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals, and they could squeak and squawk and speak and talk to
In 1960, 20th Century Fox went north to Alaska. However, Daryl F. Zanuck's decision-making process went south with the creation of Cleopatra, his casting of Marilyn Monroe in a film right before she died, and making his son Richard D. Zanuck head of production. And the studio's shameful campaign on behalf of Dr. Doolittle in 1968 may have led to a Best Picture nomination, but Hollywood was outraged, and the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences revised its rules on cinematic promotion. This may have been the last straw for Zanuck's hold on Fox. Good news for the studio occurred from an unlikely source: television. And Zanuck wisely purchased the rights for Peyton Place, Batman, and MASH. These well-thought-out choices eventually changed the fortunes of the studio, which allowed the company to franchise their properties. Planet of the Apes, Star Wars, Alien, Die Hard, Home Alone, and on television, The Simpsons, The X-Files, 24, and most recently, American Idol. Let's celebrate in song the fortunate decisions made by Zanuck at the twilight of his career on Forgotten Hollywood.
Thank you. is all I have to say.
Prior to Daryl F. Zanuck's ouster in 1971 from a group headed by the son of Alan Ladd, the Moguls secured and produced top-notch entertainment, including the prime of Miss Jean Brody, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, The French Connection, and Patton. He was in the middle of negotiations over the Poseidon Adventure when the Age of Zanuck ended. The modern era of 20th Century Fox was about to begin.
Hi, I'm Gary Lycan, and welcome to this week's visit to On the Backlot, where we discover the past is still relevant today, where the movies, the music, and the people who brought it to us still touch our lives. So grab some popcorn and join us down front in the theater as we take our stroll through the studio backlot. Okay, let's start off with the day that I discovered Betty Grable. Except that I really didn't know who she was. I was only 9 years old, probably no taller than her gorgeous legs. It was 1953. My grandparents took my parents and I to the members-only turf club at Hollywood Park for lunch and a day of racing. One of them spotted Grable having lunch with her husband, put paper and a pencil in my hand, and said, "Go get her autograph." I guess they thought that she would fall for a little kid walking over, so I went over to their table. She and her husband were arguing, so I interrupted and quietly asked her to sign my paper. She was very nice. She gave me the autograph, and I hurried back. My nerves were quieting down, thinking, okay, that's over. But then my parents tell me, "You have to go back and get his autograph, too." Why, I ask? Well, I learned kids don't ask questions, they obey. So even though I felt at that point like I was a stuttering Don Knotts, I went back and asked him for his autograph. They were still arguing, but he was nice, and he gave it to me, and I hurried back to my family, and a sigh of relief. It was only then that I looked down to see who was this guy, and the autograph said, "Harry James." Speaking of 20th Century Fox, did you know that Daryl Zanuck discovered Michael Rennie for the role of Klaatu in the film The Day the Earth Stood Still? The producer and the director, they wanted Claude Rains, but he was doing stage work and was unavailable. And Zanuck at first wanted Spencer Tracy, but it was decided a well-known star would be a distraction. So the tall, low-key Rennie was hired, and he played the alien visitor with great conviction. And composer Bernard Herrmann's score used one of the first electronic instruments, a theremin, to change sound frequencies. Now, Do you remember the three words you used to save the world? I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Okay. We are told to memorize it and repeat it, or the earth will be destroyed. Ready? Here it is. Kletu Balata Nikto. Remember those words. Well, in closing, check out the new DVD set, Tracy and Hepburn, the Definitive Collection. It's important to mention here because among the nine titles is State of the Union, which had been withheld due to rights issues, apparently with the Frank Capra estate, but now it's available. Well, that's my On the Back Lot for this week. Manny, back to you. Manny, what are you doing carrying around that Marilyn Monroe life-size poster?
You're just trying to get me in trouble. Thank you, Gary Lycan. And to our producer, Steve Guzman, a foxy job. We conclude our program with a film score written by Jerry Goldsmith. The film biography was an essential cornerstone throughout the history of 20th Century Fox. One of their best came in the dynastic career of Daryl F. Zanuck, in fact, late in his career. George C. Scott gave us a tour de force performance as Patton. When he refused the Oscar for Best Actor, it showed the fickle nature of the man who starred in the role. What a fitting way to conclude our look at this prolific movie studio. Join us next week for another edition of Forgotten Hollywood. And remember, let's never forget, I'm Manny Pacheco.